Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this special Wednesday pod, we will cover the five Breeders' Cup races on Friday, November 6th. This is show number 92, November 4th, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how's the BC handicapping going?
That's going. I'm getting through things, all kinds of interesting races. It's just always hard to zero in on a few horses because there's just so many horses and so many races. And so I still haven't got my game plan ready, but I'm definitely have some strong opinions. And I'm just hoping that these races that in the Breeders' Cup, some of them will turn out to be as dramatic and exciting as the big horse race known as the 2020 presidential election. So it'll be interesting to see how both play out over this week.
Well, they are nose and nose coming down the stretch and
with lots of dramatic lead changes. So it's been an exciting race.
That's right. And that has crimped my handicapping a little bit in that I've been following it and texting people and blah, blah, blah. So I've really only seen serious replays. I'm talking about for every horse or every contender, in my opinion, for the first three races today. And I've done enough work to know who I have to win in the last two races, but not necessarily like my exact all the other uses.
Yeah, definitely the final post entries and post draw changed my opinions on several of the races. And I just heard a breaking story, which is disappointing for fans and the connections, but also for me, that Bacoma is withdrawn from the sprint, because I've been saying he is the number one play against on the entire Breeders' Cup card. And I thought there was a lot of value betting against him. Now, we won't get that opportunity. Hopefully they claim it's just some kind of sickness or something and he'll get back to the races. But I was really hoping to play against him from a betting standpoint. But now that he's no longer in the race.
Well, you were right, but you didn't cash, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah. Did not get a chance to cash on that opinion.
Okay, well, we have five big races to cover. And I would like to introduce our special returning guest. He's a professional horse player. He's qualified for the NHC 16 times and finished fourth 1 year. He's Duke Matisse. Duke, welcome back.
Thanks, Scott. Great to be here.
Well, great to have you. I know you gave us at least one solid winner on the pod that we did back in the summer. And I think it was a pretty productive conversation. So hopefully we can make heads or tail of this Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it was, I think we did okay that day. It was a tough card, you know, but we had some horses go up that day, so it wasn't too bad for the listeners.
I think I hit the pick five that day, which
nice.
I think it was like a couple thousand. Was that the max security day?
Yeah, he ended it, right?
Yeah. So a little nervous being single to him, but it worked that time.
Yeah, it was all in all, I think we all gave out, you know, some good picks that day. I think everybody chimed in with something that that clicked somewhere along those five races. So I think it was good for the listeners.
Cool. Solid. Now, just one question before we start and before I ask Chris if he has anything for you. Are you in the Breeders' Cup betting challenge?
I am not as of today, but that doesn't mean I won't be. I haven't decided yet. And I haven't really been playing a lot of tournaments in this year. It's just for some reason I've been concentrating more on the betting itself. So not sure yet. I mean, it might be a last minute thing. Who knows?
Yeah, I would love to play. And I actually have some opinions that I feel pretty strongly about, but I don't have any money.
that makes it tough.
I need to come up with 10 grand and I don't have it. So,
well, that's something I've never heard at the racetrack.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to start, like, I'm going to have to do like a, you know, a mythical $1,000 bankroll contest and pretend it's the Breeders' Cup betting challenge and see if I can turn it into that 1,000 into 10,000. And then I'll feel like I would have done well.
Yeah, because you do have to get probably well over 100,000 to win.
Yeah, except the great thing is that the very last race, I won't have to bet like, you know, 8,000 to try to win the thing. I'll only have to bet 800.
Yeah, it's a rough ending to your money hit in that Breeders' Cup tournament. Your money can go long gone and quick in one race.
Chris, did you have anything for Duke before we get started?
Well, just a general question. This crazy year with all the COVID stuff and all the weird schedules and meetings, how are you doing this year overall on your play? I'm just curious. I've actually had a pretty good year despite all the craziness. I'm just curious how it's been going for you and overall in general.
Yeah, overall this year's been way better than last. I'm not sure why. I think it's because I'm spending way more time in my office than I ever have, because I'm home a lot. But I'm not really sure. I think maybe because there's less races and I can pay attention to more of the, you know, more like I can pay attention to Del Mar pretty closely. I can pay attention to Santa Anita pretty closely. I'm not really sure what it is, but I am having a much better year than last. Even though it's not where I want it to be, it's still better.
Yeah, it's just interesting. This is such a strange year in a lot of ways. Although for the Breeders' Cup, I think it's resulted in a pretty good set of races. Overall, I'd say this is an above average Breeders' Cup in terms of from a betting standpoint. At least that's my first take, although I haven't finalized everything yet. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't realize that all these Euros would show up, and I'm kind of surprised that they did. But I'm glad that they did, because these mixed are full fields and good, even though they may be very difficult to figure. There's still plenty of opportunities to make some money out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, let's hopefully we can identify a few of those here.
just in case it doesn't come up, since it may not with the races that we're doing, are there any biases that were kind of in play? I mean, you don't have to like announce them all, but like, you know, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago at Del Mar that might impact, you know.
You mean at Keeneland, right?
No. I'm saying at Del Mar for California shippers.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Del Mar, well, they were running at Santa Anita, right? Most of the horses.
Yeah. Okay. Santa Anita.
But not really. Santa Anita actually played as fair as I think it has in many years. So not much at Santa Anita. Keeneland, it seemed like the rail wasn't very good on the dirt, and the opposite on the turf. It seemed like the inside was good on the turf. Speed and inside is good on the turf. So there's nothing major. I don't think anything that, you know, is going to make it a crazy Breeders' Cup. But Keeneland, for some reason, the right on the rail, not really the place to be on the dirt.
Okay, well, something to take into consideration. And let's get started. We're starting with the sixth race at Keeneland. It's the Juvenile Turf Sprint. 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Purse of $1 million for two-year-olds. Duke, what do you think here?
Let's see. So I have a few ideas in here. I think Golden Pal is going to be way over bet from the 14 hole, Wesley Ward. horse that everybody's touting. I think he's just going to, from there, he's going to have to use quite a bit of horse to clear. And that might do her, do him in. So I'm looking at the number 9, who's also trained by Wesley Ward, After 5, even though he's a maiden, he ran in the Futurity at Belmont last time, and he got a really bad trip. He got shuffled the last turning for home and made a big run to get second late in that race. And I think Wesley putting a maiden in against Golden Pally must think he has some chance. So I like him. And for a real big long shot, I was watching replays from Woodbine, the number 12, Dirty Dangle. I don't know if he was a private purchase or what, why he changes trainers. That scares me a little bit. But this horse, again, also, he was in good position and he kind of lost it a little bit. And he had to angle to the far outside, and he made a nice, what I call impressive quicken. He quickened really well in the stretch going 5 furlongs. And I think he can work out a trip from the 12 hole, which might be difficult. I think the 5.5 would be perfect for him. And he's also 20-1. So I like his chances at better at 20-1 than, yeah.
I think it's actually a she, which Chris corrected me when we did our first pod on Sunday.
Oh, it is a she. You're right.
It is a she, but that I thought that was good because she gets 3 extra pounds. She gets 3 pounds off against the boys. And that's absolutely my top pick. So I look forward to talking more about her. Chris, where did you land?
Yeah, I see the race real similarly to Duke, in that Golden Pal, you know, will get shot out of a cannon. Even the outside post is really quick, is Wesley Ward. You know, he's done really well in these kinds of races. He's built his whole career around it. So horse could win, but there's a lot of speed in this race, and it will have to really run hard from start to finish to win. It might be that good, but I'm not convinced it is. And what I like about that is one way you can play this race is that that will take its toll, but he will also bottom out all the other speed horses, which are a lot of the other lower mid-priced horses. And then what you try to play the race is for horses that'll come from out of it. And you both have talked about 2 of those horses, Dirty Dangle and After 5, I think fit that. And I think that's why Wesley has After 5 in here, is he knows, you know, that'll be a closer. If Golden Pal doesn't get it done, After 5 will come running late. Dirty Dangle, the same thing. I am a little worried that they're outside and they might try to have to circle, you know, horses that are stacked 3 or 4 across, and they try to go around them all. That might not work out too well. So I think you have to include some other closers in here that maybe are drawn inside. The problem is there's not too many of them you can lean on, but I really like the 5-horse Cowan, who I think can finish strong. And you know, that horse won't be as big a price as the 2 we just talked about, but I think it's one that could get a really nice trip from the inside if a seam opens up and closes. It couldn't run down Bodenheimer, who will be one of the speed horses in here, but Bodenheimer is going to be a lot more tired at the end of the race in here than he was last time. And you know the horse can handle the Keeneland, the turf, and its other turf race was pretty good closing effort at Kentucky Downs behind Altadora, a Ward horse. So, you know, I think that horse is interesting. The 1 Euro I might play in here would be the 6 horse, You Better Believe It. It's a horse that has a really good finishing kick. So again, if it could stay covered up and then find a seam, it might close. So those 2 horses, you know, on the inside, I think are live closers. There's a couple more on the outside too, but I think that's the way to play this race. Either you got to just say, okay, I think Golden Pal is the best and he's going to wire the field, or you say, I mean, he's vulnerable and I'm looking for horses to come from off the pace, because he should be able to pretty much bottom out the speed horses in the race.
Well, I actually have Cowan in 2nd, so that's good. We're sort of in agreement. I did watch Dirty Dangle's last race again since our last pod, and I loved it even more. I mean, she was barely tapped, not whipped. She extended on the gallop out. It was a small improvement in her first turf race, and when that happens, there's a lot of upside there. I like the 12 hole. I think the 12 hole is great because if she were on the inside, she might, anything could happen, right? It could just be a mess down there. This way, the horse has positional speed, so it can be just off the pace, but just off the torrid pace, and Gaffalione can put her wherever he wants her. So I really like this horse to win. Of course, I will have exactas, and I'll probably do, you know, a lot of horses on top just in case something happens. And I'd also put her in the third position with, you know, maybe some all, like a, you know, 50 cent all Dirty Dangle try. I like her a lot. And if I was in the Breeders' Cup betting challenge, I would absolutely go in on this horse with this race with however much it is. What is it? $600?
That's a minimum to get credit for playing the race, and you have to play 3 of the 5 Breeders' Cup races on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. So this would be one of them. So I really love Dirty Dangle. And I liked Cowan's race also. He was pretty far back on the inside, had a little bit of traffic trouble, but rolled once free and just wasn't good enough to catch the loose on the lead winner. Ended out galloping out best as well. So I think, you know, I like Santana on the inside, and I've seen him work trips down there before. He did it with Cowan last time, and you know, just came up a little bit short, but I think he's got a great shot here again. And I would agree with you guys that Golden Pal is sort of an underlay, and just another note that you guys probably don't know, but he's probably a Racing Flow downgrade because he rode a speed bias in his last race. So it was better than it looked. Right. No, it looked better than it was, according to them.
Yeah, Saratoga that day on the Widener turf was all inside speed. He did win kind of easy, but that is correct. It was a speed bias turf that day.
Yeah. So that's really those are the only two opinions I really have at. But I think you guys might have some other horses you're interested in.
Duke, anything else to add?
I do believe Cowan has a chance. I think with the pace scenario, Cowan probably does better today than last time because Bodenheimer got loose on the lead last time. So I do think he has a chance. I'm using Cowan underneath, probably in tries and supers and exactas. But I'm definitely going to key after 5 or Dirty Dangle. That'll be one of those two will be my keys depending on odds and circumstances when the race comes up. But I think you guys covered the race pretty well because I don't like the Euros in this division, and there's not much else for me to see. I think Into the Sunrise would be a possibility. That's the other Wesley word, but I just don't think that 2-year-old can win without the lead, and you know that he's not going to get the lead because Golden Pal's in here. So I think we got it covered pretty well from what we've said so far.
Yeah, and I would suggest to anybody to watch Dirty Dangle's first race as well, because she has a lot of natural speed, and she was on the lead at the start of the race, and the jockey took her back to let the other speed go ahead. And the more you see, the more you'll like, I believe.
So I have one more note on Cowan. She's been working pretty well, and she's been working with Echo Town, who's a good three-year-old sprinter that's in the Breeders' Cup sprint and holding his own. I mean, he's been working with him. So a 2-year-old turf sprinter, you know, working with a graded stakes winning 3-year-old sprinter, that's a good sign. There's one other horse I think you have to use, and that's the 13th, 2nd of July. It's the one horse that's been winning races from off the pace. It's 2 for 2. And, you know, it should benefit from the likely hot pace. So I think that's the other closer that we haven't mentioned yet that I would definitely include is the 13th, 2nd of July.
Yeah, I certainly, I have no knocks on that horse at all. I was worried about that post.
It's the same post as Dirty Dangle.
Yeah, but Dirty Dangle has total positional speed. I mean, it's...
but that's more like, I mean, I did a lot of studies on this. And a horse with tactical speed like Dirty Dangle from an outside post is much more likely to get a really wide trip than a horse that drops back. So 2nd of July is much more like... Now, you're right. You stay out of trouble, but you just don't win turf sprints with a 4 or 5 wide trip. And you just can't typically win those unless you're much the best. So from a trip perspective, I don't think it's a more of a disadvantage for 2nd of July because it doesn't have tactical speed from the outside post than if Dirty Dangle. I'm worried about the post for Dirty Dangle, but Gaffleone's a good rider, better rider than Dylan Davis, and could work out a smart trip and save some ground somehow, but he's going to have to get a little bit lucky to do that, I think.
Yeah, I see him, you know, being smart. And I don't really ever see Tyler Gaffleone with these crazy wide trips. I mean, sometimes he has to go wide when it's a closer, but he tries to save ground. So I think he'll, you know, I'm hoping for 3 wide max.
Yeah, I mean, if he can, even 3 wide's tough, but yeah, that would probably be about the best you could hope for, a clean 3 wide trip. Or you roll the dice a little bit on the inside. So,
okay. Well, sounds like we got that one covered. Let's move on to the 7th. It's the Juvenile Turf, a mile on the turf, purse of $1 million for 2-year-olds, specifically colts and geldings. The fillies are not allowed here. And Chris, where did you land here?
Well, I think in this race, the Euros are very, very strong. And traditionally, the Euros are strong in this race. I think that the favored Euro, not necessarily on the morning line, but at least on the betting lines overseas, Battleground, is my least, the one I like the least. I'm not saying he can't win, but the O'Brien horses get overbet. He never brings them in off these long layoffs like he is this one. He's never brought a horse in off this long a layoff as a 2-year-old. And it just doesn't, to me, it's not ideal at all. Plus, it drew an outside post in a race where there's a short run to the first turn. Ryan Moore is a great rider, so maybe he can overcome that. But to me, there's a lot of negatives. So that's the 1 euro I don't like. I really like 2 of them, one more than the other. And I think Scott's on the other one, so I'll only talk about one. And that's the 5-horse Cadillac, who I think is really strong in here. He's had 2 really impressive wins around left-handed turns, which I think is a big deal for these young horses because some of these horses have never been around a left-handed turn. Some might not even ever been on a turn. But his last race, you're going to get a little of a value because he didn't do as well in his last race, but that was over a really deep ground, and I think he just needed the firmer ground, and plus he didn't get an ideal trip in there. So to me, draws a good post in here, which I think is really big in these 2-turn turf races, especially at this distance. And yeah, I think you will get a square price because of the big field and because he didn't look that impressive in his last race. So I really like the 5-horse Cadillac.
Cadillac getting a lot of love from American bettors and second choice in the European markets. Duke, where did you land here?
In a very difficult race. I think the Euros are going to play a part in this one. The Euros that I don't like, I'll go with first. I don't like the 14. I don't like the 13. And I don't like, where's the other one? I don't like the 2. But out of the 1 Seal Away, the 5 Cadillac, and the 9 Battleground, I don't know which one that I like the most. But Battleground's interesting because, like Chris was saying, Aidan O'Brien doesn't usually do this, but I was reading some notes about this horse, and I guess he came up sick a couple times when he was supposed to run. He was actually supposed to run twice and got scratched both times. And I guess Aiden O'Brien kept him in training, even though he was sick, which is typical of him. He's pretty hard on horses. So for him to bring the horse all the way over here and train him up to this race is a little interesting. I'm not sure what to think of it, actually, but I you know he's capable of doing that. So I think he's done that in the past with a winner a few years ago. So I'm leaning on him more than Cadillac, but I do like Cadillac. They said Cadillac's better on like a good to firm, and I expect it to be good to firm at Keeneland and not soft. So out of this, I'll probably go with one of those 2 euros on top. I'm not throwing Seal Away out yet. So it would be a third choice for a euro. As of the American horses, I don't think they're very good. The public sector, I didn't like visually on tape. I didn't think he ran that well. The one that I did like on tape was the Pletcher Train. I don't even know how you say it. Number 6, Mutazabek, something along those lines. I like the way he circled the field last time after breaking a little poorly. If he can break better and make position, I think Mutazabek can actually get in the try in this race. So I'm probably 5, 6, 9, and then 1. But it's really a crapshoot of a race.
I watched Mutazabek. I'm guessing Mutazabek because there's 2 A's there. But Mutazabek. But I don't remember the announcer how he pronounced it. So I don't know. But Mutazabek is fine. I landed on. Well, I like Battleground. He's not my top pick because he's going to be a low price. But I watch his races, and I mean, this horse he gets down to business. He gets right behind other horses. He's not intimidated by anything. And then when it's time to go, he just goes. And he's done that twice. And if Aiden O'Brien is considered by many to be the best trainer in the world, that he hasn't done this with a 2-year-old. That doesn't bother me that much, but the horse might be only 4-1. So he's not my top pick. I actually became enamored of another horse when I started doing the replays, and that was Fire at Will, who beat Public Sector in the race that you were watching. Maybe you didn't like him as much, Duke, but he's improved every race. He's won from off the pace and on it. He's won on dual surfaces, and I really like the way he was reaching out at the end of his last race. Like he was just really, really stretching out, reaching out, and like he just looks like he should be able to run all day. And then he galloped out even bigger. So you know he won by a lot, and then he galloped out even farther. I like that Santana is on him because he's a good jock. But he doesn't get bet as much. If it was Irad or Jose Ortiz, the horse would be played a lot more. So it might be it might be higher than 12-1. I don't know. He's about as fast as the Euros, you know, not quite as fast as them. But another reason I like him is he's got that positional speed, right? So he's going to stay out of trouble. And the Euro, any serious closer has got that potential to get stuck in trouble. So I like his chances, and you know he shipped to Belmont to win the Pilgrim, and then went back to his home base at Churchill. So I'm also looking forward to seeing the workout reports on him. But I like his chances a lot, and you know even if he doesn't win, I think he's probably in the try. So I'm going to try to cash that way, and I would absolutely use Fire at Will and Battleground, at minimum in the pick five, probably a few more.
Okay, Oh, go ahead, Duke. Go ahead.
The Fire Will race is a tough one to get a line on. Like I'm not against it. I'm not on him because they went so slow at Belmont, and they do that a lot at Belmont. So it's so hard to gauge how good he is because he got a very easy lead that day. But he might get another very easy lead here because none of the Euros you generally like going to the lead. So and there's not a lot of speed in this race. The only other speed I think might be the Wesley Ward, the 8 out of door. And if the Fire at Will or out of door gets on a lonely lead, I mean, their chances are increased dramatically. So, I mean, you can't that's why I say this race is a crapshoot, because who knows how this race is going to be run.
You know, the time form pace projector says not enough data to make a pace projection.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would expect Outdoor and Gretzky the Great to be on the front end with Fire at Will. I don't think it's going to be a crazy pace, but I don't think it's going to be a dawdling pace either. Especially, remember, this isn't like in Belmont. A lot of reasons those turf races at Belmont go so slow early is there's not really a first turn, so they can like dawdle along and not lose a lot of ground. But in these two-turn races going a mile, you got a short run at the first turn. If you go dawdling from an outside post, you get caught four or five wide. So they've got to go faster early. It tends to cook up the pace. That's one of the reasons I think you consistently get faster early paces in California than New York. It's just the track configuration and the need to get position early that you don't have that urgency in a lot of the way the races are run in New York, especially at Belmont, where they have all these kind of races that are sort of started in kind of a funny shoot-like configuration. So anyways, keep that in mind. I do think it makes Outdoor a little interesting because he's the one genuine speed horse, and you know he's going to break well, and he's coming out of sprints. And, you know, to me, he was the best Ward horse in that sprint race outside Golden Pal, and he decided to run him in here, which is not a good move for Wesley Ward. He's not good at stretching him out, which is why I'm not too high on the horse. But I do think the game plan will be go to the front and try to improve your position. And if they don't chase him hard, he might hold on. So he's one kind of interesting one that you don't want to ignore. I don't know if he holds on for the win, but he's a fast horse. He's a good horse. I think he might be better as a sprinter, but he's dangerous in here. The horse I thought Scott was going to talk about, at least he did on our prelim show, was New Mandate, who I like probably as my second choice in here. He draws a great post, has a great rider. He's actually a gelding. So, you know, they want to win as many races as they can and have fun with this horse. And he's in really good form. You know, again, those two-turn races, saving ground's a big deal. Dettori knows how to save ground, and this horse has some acceleration. He can, I think, handle the two turns and burst out late if he gets a trip. So after Cadillac, I like Mandate quite a bit. Seal Away, I'm a little on the fence, but again, he draws the rail, so he'll save ground. I think his last race might have been more because of the heavy going than the talent of the horse, but you just never know. And with that good draw, there's no reason why that horse couldn't get in there. So I'm kind of with Duke on that one. But for me, it's Cadillac is the play in here. New Mandate's probably a solid second choice for me. After that, it's pretty wide open. I'm kind of against Battleground. But if he somehow doesn't get bet, then there's not much value in leaving him out. And I do think you have to kind of consider Altador as sort of the possible horse that could shake loose early. He's the one horse that actually has run, you know, a fast opening quarter, opening a half mile. No other horse in this race really has done that. And so that always could make the horse dangerous.
Yeah, you know, New Mandate, I was just, my main concern with him is that his trainer is 0-9 in the U.S. with only one in the money. And I'm just wondering, is that a fluke? I don't really know anything about the trainer. I've heard of him. I don't know. You guys have any info on him? Ralph Beckett?
He's a good trainer, and he's moving his horses up. Look at the horse Devil Walla. As soon as it joined his barn, it kind of looks like a European version of the American move-up trainers. He's hot, so I wouldn't consider that negative. And again, we've talked about this before. An 0-9 shipping to the U.S., you know, typically in tough fields with big fields, you know, that's such a small sample size. I wouldn't put a lot of stock into that.
He actually won a Breeders' Cup race, but it was the Breeders' Cup Marathon race. He won the 2008 Breeders' Cup Marathon race with a horse with a weird name. But I wouldn't knock the trainer. I don't think that has anything to do with it. But that horse has never, from what I've read, he doesn't run around turns yet, or hasn't raced around turns. I guess they're all straightaways. I'm not sure if that is 100% true, but that scares me on him.
Yeah, that would be good. Is that true? I'm not sure. I'll have to look at that. I thought he ran at Sandown, which I thought was one of the races where they have to start on a turn, but I don't know. I'll have to watch the replay on that and see. But even the turns in Europe aren't nearly as tight as they are in the U.S., so that's a big question for all the Europeans usually when they ship over.
Well, I will say about New Bandy, there's two things just to like muck it up. The good thing is that he really accelerated in both his last two races, and he galloped out best in both those races. I mean, he won, but he also extended on the gallop out. So it seems like there's some upside there. The negative is that he kind of looks like he was a little bit rank, you know, like a little bit. He's got his head up and he's, you know, it seems like the jockey has a little bit of struggle with him. So I'd just be a little bit worried about that in a mile race with this size field. That said, I probably have to include him in the pick five. And I would absolutely use Outador because I don't have any negative to his last race. And it was 6.5 furlongs at Kentucky Downs, which, as we were saying the other day, Kentucky Downs is more like a two-turn track at 6.5 furlongs. So it's kind of an in-betweener. So it's not like he's really stretching him out to two turns for the first time. It's more like he's stretching him out from a question mark to two turn race.
So yeah, I noticed, Scott, that he was kind of rank at the start of some of his races. I actually think switching to the U.S. will help in that regard because they'll just naturally be going a little faster early, and especially when they have to get position going to that first turn. You know, Dettori's not going to try to take a big hold of him right out of the gate, I don't think. So I think, you know, he might actually get to relax a little because he doesn't have to be held up like they typically run in Europe. But he did produce that burst of speed, even though he wasted some energy early on like that. So, you know, to me, that's not necessarily a negative. He could do it again, but I think they'll be going this first quarter much faster than they typically go in Europe. And that might actually play to his advantage.
Well, that's a very good observation. And I also notice, you know, that Dettori rode him for the last two times. He's riding him again, and he likes to stick with winners.
Yeah, and he's, you know, of the European riders, they're all really good, but he's had a ton of experience, you know, riding in U.S. races, just like Ryan Moore. So, you know, those really good European riders that have the U.S. experience, that's a big plus, I think.
Yeah, Dettori's the best. I mean, but they were worried about that horse. They want to take a hold of him. I guess he got ranked maybe three or four races back, and I think that's why they took the rider off and put Dettori on, because he went to the lead and ran off a little bit. So they're looking to take a hold. So you might have seen that purposely, what he looked ranked, because they were trying to get him to settle.
Yeah, it says in his second race, led under hold.
Yeah.
All right, well, very wide open race, and we wish everybody luck in that race. Yeah, and the BCBC, I don't know if I would put 600 into this race.
This is the race of the five that I like the most. I really like Cadillac in here. So that, I think we have a little bit of a different opinion there. I'm pretty high on that horse in this race. I think he's a perfect kind of Euro to win this. Benner showed he can produce a burst of speed. He can, you know, make run left-handed. You're getting a price because his last race was kind of buried and with a tough trip over really bad ground. And he's gonna see much the firmer ground is where he's done his best running. So I'm kind of high on this race. Actually, I like Cadillac quite a bit.
Yeah, and the horse that he beat in that race, as pronounced by their announcer, came back to win a pretty good stake. So I don't know, five deep in the pick five. I think I can get skinny later. I think I can get skinny later. I'm definitely playing the pick five because I have some opinions. I want a I want a piece of any dirty dangle pick five.
Yeah. I'm leaning on 5, 8, 9 in that race, I think, the more I look at it. I think 5, 8, 9 is probably what I'll use in the pick five.
So you are, you're kind of on out the door some as well, Duke?
Only because I think you might get loose. I mean, I you know how these turf races go when somebody gets out front and then, you know, everybody's taking a hold. I can see that. I can see that happen very easily here. Originally, I didn't really think he could, but knowing Fire at Will wasn't really fast last time. So where else is the speed? If it doesn't come from a Euro, I don't see any speed in any of the Gretzky. The Great's not really that fast. I've watched him run a few times. He likes to sit off. So he likes to just sit second and, you know, make one little move. And I don't see that horse going to the lead either. So
yeah, he's coming out of slow pace. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Initially I was hoping Outador would go in the other race, but because I just don't like Wesley Ward stretching him out. But as Bruno pointed out on our show on Sunday, you don't want to go too blanket on these trainer stats. And sometimes the race sets up for the horse, you know, that stretching out may be perfect, because here's a horse who's going to be, you know, without extending himself early, could grab a lead and clear and never look back. So that's always dangerous in any race.
Yeah. Well, especially at 8-1, first of all. And also, as I tweeted, Wesley Ward ran 1-2 in the juvenile turf in 2014. So it doesn't show in his stats, you know, the DRF stats, but
Hootenanny. I remember that, because I had he ran 1-2 and I keyed the horse that ran third. I remember that race well. That was at Santa Anita. In fact, I had talked to Wesley Ward the day before. But I didn't cash on that race. I remember it well.
Did you tell him, like, yeah, you can't stretch out 2-year-olds?
Yeah, that's what I said. You have no chance, Wesley.
Yeah. He doesn't listen to anybody anyway.
He certainly wasn't going to listen to me. I know that. But, I remember that race. Hootenanny ran huge that day. So he was the best horse that day, and I did not have him.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll have something this time. And let's move to the eighth, which is the Juvenile Fillies, 1/16 on dirt, purse of $2 million for 2-year-old fillies. Duke, what do you think?
Well, I mean, this race goes through Mr. Baffert, Princess Noor. That horse has been ridiculously impressive in her 3 starts. I don't think she's even been asked to run. So she's definitely the horse to beat, even though her figures say she's slow. I wouldn't really go by them, because she's been basically geared down in all 3 of her starts. If she runs somewhat like that, I think they're all run for second, even though these are very good 2-year-old fillies. I mean, Day at the Office is no slouch, and I even like Girl Daddy a little bit. Girl Daddy, I thought, got, you know, not a good trip and overcame it last time and still won. But I just don't know if they're going to be in the league of Princess Noor. Princess Noor looks like one of these Baffert horses that's going to be, you know, undefeated and win like 6-7 starts and win the Kentucky Oaks next year. And it just looks like that kind of filly. So I can't really pick against her in, she's only 9-5 in the morning line. I thought she'd be more like even money. So I'm Princess Noor on top and Day at the Office and Girl Daddy behind, but that's not really helping anybody. But if you were looking for a single, I think Princess Noor could be it.
Okay. Wow. You're the first person that's given Princess Noor any respect that I've heard, but I haven't talked to that many people, but just in my Twitter feed, people love to hate her. So what do you think, Chris?
I don't know what to hate about her.
Just the slow figures. The slow figures. You know, there are people out there like Nick Tamaro who's like, she's a slower horse. That's why we do speed figures. But, yeah, you know, well, there's the argument.
He's not watching her. He hasn't watched her run then, because she could have run at least a second faster. So I couldn't go by any, none of her races was she ever asked to run. So, I mean, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think she may be overbet, but let's hear what Chris has to say.
Well, I'm in the camp that, you know, I'm a numbers guy, and I've seen a lot of horses like this. Sometimes they really do run much better when they have to, but typically they don't, and they're almost always overbet. So I'm against her. I'm not saying she might not be just what Duke described, but I'm going to bet against it in the long run. I think I come out ahead. So that's just kind of how I see it. I'm curious though, Duke, you do your own numbers, you and Paul, you know, how do you have these from I'm assuming Princess Nora came back slow and you're just not worried about the figure, but what about
she's really slow on figures, but I mean, when horses, you watch her videos, you can't tell me she couldn't run a goal a second faster. I mean, a second faster is a big difference. So, I mean, you can't.
Well, she could definitely run faster. There's no doubt. It's just how much. And I mean, how do you have from a figure standpoint, to me, you know, everything I've seen day out of the office is very fast. Is she fast, significantly faster than the others?
Day out of the office is definitely the fastest figures. The problem with her is she's only been one turn. Belmont Mile is a one turn, you have to remember. And she stalked. She just sat on one horse and opened up. I know she's good, but is she going to be good going around two turns is the question. And when you face good horses going around two turns for the first time, I think that could become a problem. I think Simply Ravishing is just as good as, and she's proven, believe it or not, she's a New York bred, which is crazy. She ran around two turns at Keeneland and did it well, but I still don't think she's in the league of Princess Nora, but it's going to be an interesting race because I think Girl Daddy has a chance, and she's never been around two turns either.
Yeah, so I'm against Princess Nora from a betting standpoint. I agree she could run faster, but I just, like I said, these kind of horses, I'm over my life. I know I'm ahead betting against them. I know I've gotten beat many times by some really good horses, but in the long run, I think it's the way to play. Day out of the office, I think, just seems like a standout to me. I don't see anything that says she's not going to go two turns. I think she gets a perfect trip, just exactly what she had before. I think VQuist will go and she'll stalk that one. They're not going to go that fast. And she's better than VQuist. She proved that last time, I thought. And I agree with you. Simply Ravishing, I just thought, had a perfect trip last time. So I'm not as high on her, but I do think Girl Daddy's got a lot of upside. And I think Crazy Beautiful isn't that crazy in here. The horse has had some less than ideal trips. The horse gets bet every time. And I just think it could, if it finally gets a trip, you know, it might be 30 or 40 to one in here, and it's not impossible. I don't know if it can win, but I wouldn't be shocked to see it do something. But from a win standpoint, I think day out of the office is going to go off as the third choice in here, regardless of the morning line, and could be, you know, a 3-1, 4-1 third choice. And to me, there's some value there in a horse that I think is proven, you know, it's fast. It does have that two turn question, but I don't see it any reason to think that it won't get a good trip and won't get the two turns. So that's kind of how I see it.
Well, since our last pod, I had not watched any of Day Out of the Office's races, and you're right, that last race, she's the fastest horse, and that last race, she just it was a tremendous performance. She was under complete control. She galloped out huge. I mean, she just kept on going. It's really pretty extraordinary. And I'm just thinking, like, she got a 95 buyer, and I wonder if people are really going to bet her. I mean, she's undefeated. She's got faster figures than Princess Noor. And she's got, I think it's faster figures than Simply Ravishing. So I wonder if she might be favored. You know, I don't know how they're going to bet this race. Now, I would guess, yes, the Baffert probably does go off favored. but I just don't know. So I'd be inclined to use all three of the main choices, Simply Ravishing, Day Out of the Office, and Princess Noor, because if somehow Princess Noor, those slow figures, somehow she ends out going off at a price, then I'm going to want to be a part of that in the pick five. I know that's not the best strategy, and I'd probably, sort of weight it a little differently so that I didn't have Princess Noor and some other favorites. But I'm going to put on my on top, I'm going to put Simply Ravishing on there. I really liked that last race. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her figures. She's been steadily getting faster. She improved going two turns. There's no reason why she can't keep improving. And she was a hand ride. The gallop out was fine. And I think she's also worked out a notably faster bullet workout after that race, right? She ran on October 2nd. She came back on October 17th and ran like a 47.1 bullet, best out of 82. There's really not that much value because it's pretty clear there's three horses here that are faster than the rest of them. I wish I could say like I had some angle where the only angle really is that day out at the office is faster. However, as Duke said, and as I said in the pod the other day, that two turn question, no matter how impressive she looked, it's still a question until they do it.
Yeah, I would agree. She's fast, but it's a whole different ballgame when you go into the first turn and they got to turn left. And I don't trust her. I don't trust her to go two turns, and she's not really bred to go two turns at all on the mare side. From what I have on the mare side, she's very low distance. So, she's fast. I can't say she can't win. I will definitely use it underneath, but Princess Noor will be a single for me. And Day of the Office and Girl Daddy would be underneath. I probably won't use Simply Ravishing because she made such an easy lead at Keeneland last time, and that's not going to happen in this race.
One thing I will say about Princess Noor, she's not that much slower. Her figure at Del Mar going 7 furlongs was pretty good. Not as fast as Day at the Office's last one. But then she ran that two turns for the first time, and she naturally, it's not unexpected for horses to regress their first time going two turns sometimes. She did that. And like now he's really turning the screws on her. She ran a 6 furlong bullet in 111.4 since that race. And she looked like you said, Duke, she looked like she could just keep on running. I mean, that was a ridiculously easy race. I hadn't really looked at it that closely, but Victor Espinoza took her on the inside, and she wasn't shy. She didn't, she sort of went scooted right through, and then she dropped back a little bit.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was very close to the lead, my own opinion. I think she might be sitting third on the outside of probably Day Out of the Office and maybe one other filly, but she will not be far behind. I can guarantee you that. She might even be on the lead.
I think she'll be 3 wide behind Vequist and Day Out at the Office, which I think works against her because I think a 3 wide trip isn't the greatest way to go. The other thing I don't like about her is I'm not a Victor Espinoza fan at all. So
no, I hate him.
He could screw it up just all by himself. So
that is true. But, the reason that he's on this horse and I'm into conspiracy theories, but the reason he's on that horse is because the day that she debuted, it was just funny that Baffert had Maximum Security running against who's the sheriff's horse there, Midcourt, and Victor Espinoza decided to rate Midcourt that day when Maximum Security was in the race and got a lonesome lead. And guess who rode Princess Noor that day? to an Victor, easy score in the Victor Espinosa rode in that day.
That might be the best, the most intricate conspiracy theory we've ever heard on the pod. That one there, that's good. I like that. Well, we'll see if that Baffert will rue the day that he made that choice in this race.
I agree that he's not. I don't like him either.
Well, yeah, Baffert did win a triple crown with that jock. I don't particularly like him either, but he did win a triple crown with him. So it doesn't surprise me that he's using him again. Let's move on to the next race, which is the Juvenile Fillies Turf, the ninth race, 1 mile on turf, purse of $1 million for 2-year-old fillies. And Chris, I think it's your turn this time.
To me, this race is kind of really inscrutable. I don't like the Euros much in here, so I'm kind of leaning towards the U.S. horses. I don't like any of them as a standout, but I think probably from a value standpoint, the horse that I like the most is Alda, the three horse. I think I like Grand Motion horses to begin with. Draws an inside post, which I'm really looking for in these mile races, and is, I think, probably the best closer in the field. And I'm just hoping there is some speed in here, especially with the Wesley Ward horse drawn outside and going from the sprint to this race. I think there'll be a sharp pace, and it could set up for Alda to come flying late at a big price. So that's probably the horse that I like from a pod pick standpoint would be the three Alda.
Okay, Alda for Grand Motion and improving her figs. What did you think, Duke?
Chris must be reading my form over here because my top pick is Alda. I thought Alda was very, very good last time at Woodbine. Again, got a trip that horses generally can't handle when they're sitting by themselves wide back in a soft-paced turf race, and just kept coming. She just kept running. And I think she gets a huge upgrade to Johnny Velasquez, who from this, not taking anything away from the Canadian rider, but I mean, going back to Velasquez with an inside post and can make position, I think she's just 12 to 1 is almost crazy. If she goes off 12 to 1, it would be definitely a play. If you're saying in tournament play, I would definitely be keen for first and second and exactas tries and a win bet. And because I'm not that high on horses like Aunt Pearl and Plum Alley. They can win, but Aunt Pearl, no, she's gotten two lonesome leads. She's been very, very, very impressive in winning them, but lonesome leads make horses look good. And being a big favorite, I know she can win, but I'm just not into turf horses that have gotten lonesome leads and are low prices. So I'm really interested in all that. And from the reports, I don't get much positive reports on the Euros. I haven't watched many replays, but it doesn't seem like they like many of them. I think the speed is going to come into play here because Wesley's definitely going to the lead here with Campanelle. So that makes Aunt Pearl have to sit. So when Campanelle goes to the lead, Aunt Pearl's got to show a different dimension. She's going to have to sit either in behind or come out and track. And this pace won't be slow either because Campanelle's, you know, been working without a door, who we were talking about earlier, and you know she's going to the lead. I'm not sure she can get a mile, and I would doubt she can get a mile. So I just think, like Chris said, I think Alda's going to get position, a good trip, and is too good a price.
All right, well, I have nothing against Alda, and in the pick five, I would absolutely use her. I would especially use any closers because there looks like there's going to be a lot of speed in this race. The time form pace projector says it. If you look at the running styles and the PPs, it looks like it's going to happen. Royal Approval, which is a horse I'm very interested in, and it's probably the main speed horse, the one that I will use. This is my long shot play. I think she wants to go long, and if somehow that she gets like a too wide stalking trip and they don't go too fast, I want to have her. So I'm not going to make her my top pick. I'm going to make her my second pick. As the top pick, and I haven't watched the races other than Royal Approval's races. As the top pick, I think I'm going to go with Madone, who has, Pratt has been riding the horse on a regular basis. She's undefeated. I haven't watched her races, but she comes from behind, and Pratt's a good rider. And I want her at 12-1. And then I would also say, I know this is a little nutty, but I think Nazuna at 30-1, coming from Europe, she's a closer. She's had some time. She's improved every race on figures. And I know the trainer can win in the U.S. He's I don't know if he's won with any two-year-old races, two-year-old horses, but he's definitely brought some over to North America and won. So I will use Nazuna. If Nazuna comes in, I just hope I'm alive in the pick five at that time, because I will be using her.
Yeah, I see this a lot. I obviously, Duke and I kind of agree. I just think this is a fast pace. And in terms of the Euros, traditionally the colts, the two-year-old colts do much better than the fillies. I just think they send better quality colts over here because they're trying to build kind of stallion reputations, you know, in the heartland of, you know, in the U.S. breeding market. And the fillies, and, you know, they're more like them up for the next year. So just in general, you get a stronger group of Euros in the two-year-old colt than the two-year-old filly divisions of this race. So I think this is no exception this year. None of them really stood out to me, you know, that I think if I had to use one of the Euros, it would probably be the two-horse Miss Amulet, because she drew a good post. And, you know, she has only gone six furlongs, which is a big negative, but she's really shown some talent at that, you know, in the races she's been in, and maybe she gets a good trip and, you know, might hit the board. But I really think this is more, this race is more set up for the U.S. horses to do well.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, I don't really like the Euros here. Miss Amulet's only been six furlongs, and they don't even bring their own rider to get Leperu, which I think is ridiculous. But
he is a French rider.
Is that what he is? Because he's terrible.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But I mean, probably has connections. That's how he got the mount. Uh-huh. I agree with you. Yeah,
I guess he's awful. Anyway.
How do you really feel?
When's the last time he won a big race? I think he won one race at Saratoga last year. I don't know. I just don't trust Ann Pearl, and she's going to be the favorite. And like I said, I think Alba's a great price. I mean, it could be anything after that. Like, this is one of those races where you either like a horse or you don't like any of them, you know? So, I mean, it's hard to stick your neck out, but I just think for the price, Alba is the right play.
Yeah, definitely a use, and a very tough race, and one that I would not be playing in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, at least not with any serious money.
So I have just one question for you, Scott, because you like Royal Approval, right? Am I right on that?
That's well, and I'm just allowing that somehow she no I mean I put her in second. I chose Madone.
Oh, okay.
As my top pick, because I do think that she's going to be compromised by the pace, and I do think she's got a good shot, but it's probably going to be a very hot pace, and on that stretch out, a really hot pace, it's going to be tough for her to win. But I'm still keeping her in second just because. Like, what if they don't have a very fast pace? I'd have to look at the Breeders' Cup pace numbers for previous, you know, one turn miles. I don't know that they're always that fast. So I'm just allowing
two turn mile.
Two turn mile. Sorry. And, you know, like, how did they run at Keeneland last time they ran here? I think it was 2015. Maybe it was 2018.
Well, I remember who won the races. It was a Cassie horse. was her name. She was near the front and then hit it a bomb, came from way behind for the Colts that year in the two-year-old races at Keeneland. I can't remember the name of that Cassie horse, and I can't think of it. But anyway.
I mean, there's the risk with 14 horses that there's going to be a fast pace. There's, you know, that you would think, be inclined to think that's going to happen. So that's why I don't have her on top. But I'm including her in the pick five because I think she has the best chance of the speed.
Yeah, I will say, mate, Mad, how do you say that?
Madone?
Madone?
I don't know. Madone, Madoni. I haven't watched the races, so I don't know how they pronounce it.
I was saying, calling it Mad One, but maybe Madoni, who knows? Anyway, yeah, the nine horse.
Could be Mad One.
The nine horse, I kind of agree. That horse is interesting. It's looked pretty good in its races. Duke, I don't know if you had much of an opinion on that one because it came from the West Coast, right? And man, Pratt's a good rider.
She's looked impressive, but I don't think she's running against the, Breeders' Cup competition. Maybe I don't. You know, it's hard to say because they're 2 year olds, but there wasn't a lot in there. You know what I mean? It seemed like a stellar field.
Pizzazz came back to win, but she was a maiden. That was a maiden race. So you know, there's always that issue. But and again, I haven't watched the races, but I did notice that Madone or Mad One, she did stumble at her in her second race, which was a stake, and she stumbled and she rallied and she won. So she overcame some trouble, and that's a pretty key thing for a young horse like that to be able to do.
Yeah, and consistently winning from well off the pace at in California on the turf. You know, I think that's a good sign too. Those are the kind that when they ship east, I'm more interested in the ones that have been winning on the front end. So I don't know. That horse is kind of interesting. And Flavian Pratt, not in California, but outside California, I think he's kind of underrated as a rider. He is a good rider. And that's not the best post, but he could work a trip from there, especially if they go fast early. So.
Yeah. And with the trainer, just, you know, I'm sure he's got good records with many trainers, but he's hitting at 36%, which is pretty extraordinary. 58 races last 2 years.
All right. Interesting race, as they all are.
Okay. Well, let's move then to the marquee event. It's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, mile and a 16th on dirt for $2 million. 2-year-old colts and geldings again. Duke, where'd you land here?
Well, the only stick out in this race on figures wise is Jackie's Warrior. But again, we have a horse that's never been around two turns. That scares me a little bit, being at a horse that's going to be probably somewhere near even money, 6-5, 7-5 range. On numbers, he can't lose. He runs around 100 on our figures. So, but it's very tough to take at a short price. I mean, you have to use him, obviously, in your pick fives and everything. I definitely think he's better than Reinvestment Risk. He's proven that. He's beaten him twice pretty handily both times. I didn't give any excuse for Reinvestment Risk. So that being said, I'm trying to look for some crazy bomb or some horse that's going to move up. And most of these horses have run one or two times, so in their third start. And the horse that I crazily came up with, which it's a maiden. It's Keep Me in Mind. He didn't get the best of trips at Keeneland last time. Got shuffled in the turn, and he's putting blinkers on. And it looked like he needed the blinkers because he kind of lost focus at about the 3/8 pole and fell back and then started running again. It just seemed like a horse that might move up with the blinkers and might be going forward. And it's strange because Deodoro doesn't usually have horses like this. He doesn't usually have these 2-year-olds, usually has older claimers and horses like that. So that worries me a bit, but at the price, he's probably going to be 40-50 to 1. I think he's a using all the tries and supers underneath, which probably will be won by Jackie's Warrior if he gets the two turns.
Interesting. Keep Me in Mind is the second horse that Diodoro has in this race. And his go-to rider who rode both of them in their last race chose Dreamer's Disease. I'm assuming he chose the horse. So, so something to keep in mind. Chris, where did you land here?
Well, Duke must be reading my notes. This is the horse I picked on our preview show, Keep Me in Mind. If you like Essential Quality, I thought had a perfect trip last time. Keep Me in Mind has had a tough trip. In fact, he's had tough trips in both his starts. He does get the blinkers. He sports a really fast workout with the blinkers on. He worked with Dreamer's Disease. He broke off behind him. And then, as Bruno said, he couldn't get past Dreamer's Disease. But Dreamer's Disease is fast. And at 5 furlongs, I'd expect Dreamer's Disease to beat. Keep Me in Mind, you know, straight up, but going a mile and a 16th, you know, Keep Me in Mind, I think, could be sitting on Big Race. And I certainly don't think Jose Ortiz took the second best horse in the barn in this. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that this is a rider upgrade and it was not David Cohen's choice to make, but I could be wrong. I do think Dreamer's Disease is really fast, and he drew an outside post in a race with a ton of speed, including Jackie's Warrior. So I think this is definitely a race where Jackie's Warrior could bottom out the field, and, you know, horses can come from out of it, and it could be crazy. So I Keep Me in Mind as my top choice, but a couple other long shots I like that could come in later as well. In a race where I think they'll get totally overlooked after the top few. But I'll let Scott weigh in because I don't want to steal his thunder if he likes one of those other horses. But there's a couple other long shots, one even crazier than Keep Me in Mind, that I think could clunk up and get into the gimmicks as well.
Are there any 100-to-1 morning lines?
I don't know, but there could be a 100-to-1 shot in this race at post time.
Yeah. It's not like the Derby, right? These are serious players. So there's going to be some that are that high. I love sitting on Go here. I loved his first race, but I hadn't seen his second race on the last, you know, going into the last pod, but I just assumed it was good. And I just watched it this morning and wow. I mean, he circled the field. He won professionally. Then he extended on the gallop out. He's working better than ever into this with a 47.2 bullet last week. I love sitting on goal, especially in this race where it looks like there's a lot of speed. So there's a really good chance that I will single because I have to go so deep in the previous race. And the only way I'm going to make it affordable is by singling something. And I mean, sitting on go, his figure at one turn was almost as fast. You know, it was fast enough of the horses besides Reinvestment Risk and Jackie's Warrior. I think Jackie's Warrior is going to react. I think there's a good chance Reinvestment Risk also reacts. So sitting on go is like sort of like almost as, you know, not as fast as them. But if they bounce and sitting on go improves, I don't see any reason why he won't improve. I don't mind the 9 hole because he can drop back and Lannery likes to save ground. Sitting on go for me.
Jump in, Duke.
Well, I mean, sitting on go is, again, he's a young horse that has run, you know, he's won both of his races and he's done nothing wrong. He's working well. I mean, I just, to go from figures in the 80s to figures around 100 at two turns is a tough task. I mean, if Jackie's Warrior runs around two turns, which, you know, again, I am hesitant to say he will, but there's nothing that he showed that he won't in his races. He wasn't slowing down, that's for sure. And he easily had handled the Reinvestment Risk. The problem with Jackie's Warrior is, again, the price. You know, I mean, I got nothing against it, and I go, but he's going to have to move up, you know, in the range of, 12 buyer points at a mile, you're talking about, you know, 7-8 lengths. Can he move up 7-8 lengths is the question. So I was just looking for horses to use underneath, really. I mean, under Jackie's Warrior. I mean, if he blew up, then you gotta, then you're, who knows who could win this race. If Jackie's Warrior doesn't handle the two turns and stops, there's a number of horses that can win. And I think that would include Rombauer as a horse that could win. That race has been pretty key. There's been two winners that come out of that race, including, I think, Spielberg, I think was one of them that came, that ran third, came back and won. I mean, he runs in that same ballpark. We have him running in 88 last time, same as Sitting on Go. You know, they have to move up, but they can. Another one, you know, that maybe could do that, I think it would be probably, I don't know, I think it would be crazy, but Camp Hope, I thought visually, was pretty impressive in his maiden win. But he draws the rail, which I don't think is necessarily the spot to be at Keeneland, especially, you know, if you're pinned right on it. I want to be 2, 3, 4 path at Keeneland on the dirt. So again, I still think it's Jackie's Warrior, and I'm going to use Keep Me in Mind as my crazy bomb that's going to hopefully get me second, third, or fourth in the super, and I'll throw a bunch of others in underneath. But they all got to be Jackie's Warrior.
So my two crazy bombs were the 1 Camp Hope and 13 Rombauer as horses that could close late at a big price. So I'm with Duke on that. The one thing, I think it's more than Jackie's Warrior. Can, there's a question about the distance, but this is a horse where it's ran two giant figures, and you just don't see two-year-olds string together. I can't think of one two-year-old in the last 20 years that's strung together three races in a row that are as fast as Jackie's Warrior's last two. So I serious, plus he's stretching out in two turns for the first time, shipping, all those things. There's no, I think the horse is going to regress. The question is, you know, how much? And a lot of times when they regress, they really regress. You know, I don't like to use the word bounce because it has all the negative connotations, and it gets overused. But this horse, if there was ever a bounce candidate, this is the horse. And so I would be really leery. I absolutely agree it lays over on numbers, but this is the kind of horse that not very likely to reproduce that number in this race. So I'm not saying bet against the horse because it could regress and still win, but I think it's more than just can it get the distance. You know, this is like, can it actually, is it a kind of horse that can somehow run three incredibly fast races in a row as a two-year-old? So that's asking a lot of any horse. That's why I'm a little negative on that one, although I am leery of tossing, not just because it's so much faster than the rest. But I do think the horse ought to be able to bottom out all the other speed horses and set it up for a closer. And that's kind of the way I'm looking at the race. I do just want to mention that Essential Quality was the horse that Bruno just was adamant was going to run a big race in here. So I don't want to leave the listeners who don't listen to our preview pod. I just want to throw that out. He's really high on this horse. I'm not as high. I thought it had like a perfect trip last time, and this time it's going to be chasing a hot pace. And so, but he's really high on the horse, and it has looked good in its workouts and in its races.
One other horse that I'll mention just since we're on bombs, and I would use this horse underneath. I don't think he can win, but I'm going to take the other Deodoro, the other 30-1 Deodoro. First of all, I think David Cohen did have his choice. He's in the last 2 years, he's run 414 races for this trainer. This is his go-to guy. I mean, this is that day in,
not
day
in the
out.
Breeders' Cup. Not in the Breeders' Cup. Yeah, in the everyday race on a Wednesday for sure.
Yeah, every single day. And, you know, he was on Keep Me in Mind in a graded stake for, you know, last race. I mean, you know, he doesn't take this guy off. And, you know, trainers think that he's a good jockey. I think he's a good jockey. I mean, I heard Tom Amos going on about what an excellent jockey David Cohen was. So, so anyway, I think he did get his choice. And So I liked the figures. He's had his best 5 furlong work since that last race. The only negative is that he's a speed horse, but so that could fry him. But there's one interesting thing that I like to point out when I notice it, I point it out. And that is that this horse ran a fast first quarter and then like slow 2 middle quarters and then a fast last quarter. And for a dirt horse, it's interesting. I like to see that. To me, it says the horse has like some ability. It can sort of change tactics. It has like some, you know, the ability to, it doesn't have to make one run, right? It can ration its speed. So I think this horse could get into the super at a price, but you know, I wouldn't spend too much money on him because he may be part of the speed brigade.
Well, he will be part of the speed brigade. There's no doubt about that. It's the only way he runs. So you think he's good enough to run with Jackie's Warrior and finish? That's the question. And there's a lot of other speed, the Baffert horse. So I just don't see it from a trip standpoint, how he could possibly get the kind of trip that would give him a chance. But maybe so.
I don't know. It's just, you know, it's just the horse caught my eye. The horse... He caught my eye.
It'd be hard for him to chase and win, you know.
Yeah, but I liked the line, and I wrote, "Who is the jock? If Cohen, then watch out." And that's what I wrote before they, you know, announced who was riding which horse. So,
yeah, he's the kind I think is a great play the next time he runs. I don't think he has any chance in here because there's just no way I can see him winning, you know, getting a trip that wins. But you know, he might finish up the track, but then come back and run big next time out. So I'd definitely agree with you in kind of in terms of the next race.
Yeah, and look, I don't think he's going to win. I wouldn't have him in my pick five, but I do think that he could smash the super, and you know, maybe he doesn't have to have a lead. I know that's the only way he's, you know, that's pretty much the only way he's run. But you know, because he has that rationable speed, maybe they'll try something different with him, and you know, maybe he has more talent than he's indicated.
Yeah, it's hard to knock 30-1, but I think his style is going to do him in. You're going back to, you couldn't remember horses that have run, you know, big figures, you know, as 2-year-olds, and I believe Game Winner, I believe, was a horse that, which wasn't that long ago, had numbers like this, 3 races in the high 90s as opposed to 100 that won the juvenile colts. But I believe Game Winner also maybe had gone 2 turns maybe at Santa Anita maybe before he ran in the juvenile, he had.
I remember his line. He hadn't run as fast as Jackie's Warrior, at least on the sheets.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was quite as fast, but yeah, I'm sure you could find a few, but I bet you it's hard to find those. And I mean, he just could be a special horse. It's just, I hate to, you know, play an odds on horse like that. But he certainly would lay over the field if he runs his race. But that, to me, that's a lot bigger if than a horse like, you know, Day at the Spa, who hasn't strung together 2 giant races. Her last was really nice, but it was just one really big race, and it's not nearly as fast as Jackie's Warrior. There I'm less likely to see them react than like Jackie's Warrior. And this horse does run back to that race, his last 2 races. This horse is an absolute monster for sure. I mean, I don't know about getting a mile and a quarter in the Derby, but I mean, this is a really nice horse. I mean, it clearly already is, but if it can do that again in here, that I'll be really impressed. I mean, that'll be an awesome performance if it can repeat that again.
Yeah, it's I mean, that horse has been on the lead every pole in his last 3 races. So watch out. Watch out for this pace. I'm stone cold against him. So you know, no matter how impressive he looks, that's why I'm against him. Like you said, right? 3-2 giant races. It's hard to have 3 of these, and especially going 2 turns first time.
Yeah, and he's wheeling back, and in the, at least nowadays, is pretty short rest. You know, so He is really, I mean, it's sort of the two ways you can play it. You can say he's going to run his race and they're all running for second, and you're trying to find some bombs underneath. Or you can say, you know, play against him. And then it's pretty wide open after that, right? So I think you could do it either way, but my tendency is always to lean against this kind of horse, even as fast as this one is. For this, for the reason that he's a two-year-old, I mean, it's just really hard to string together three monster races in a row for any horse, especially two-year-olds.
Okay, well, we've dissected that race pretty well. Any other thoughts on that race or any other plays on the undercard? I know I haven't looked as usual.
Or for Duke, does he have anybody that he really likes on the Saturday card or doesn't like? Since we're not going to hear his opinion on that, is there any course that's really got his juices flowing for the Saturday race?
Good question.
I haven't gotten that much into the Saturday card yet, but I'm trying to think if there was any just horse that I've been waiting for to run. I do have a horse that's on a bet back list. I don't know what it looks like in the race. He's got to be long because she's in super tough. In the Philly race going seven furlongs with Serengeti Empress and Gamine, I mean, that's just a killer of a race. I've been kind of waiting for a horse, Sally's Curlin, to find a little bit softer spot than that, but she's in super tough there.
That's good to hear, though, because Scott and I, like you said, it's a tough race, but I think the race sets up for her really well. I think it's going to be a hellaciously hot pace, and I thought she just got...
She's definitely better than her form suggests, so, I mean, she's definitely a use, you know, in exactas and tries, that's for sure.
Anything else on Saturday, or is that the only one that comes to mind?
That's the only one that I had actually, like, on you know, I keep track of horses to watch. I'm trying to remember if there was something. I haven't really dug into Saturday yet because I did this last night as I was watching the election results and that nonsense for 8 hours, and I was watching replays of Euros and watching replays of all these two-year-olds last night, and so I'll get
were you getting
that
bet, bets tomorrow. Down on the election, or are you just watching?
I was gonna bet Trump, but I think that looking like that bet is gonna slightly come up short. Looks like it's gonna be a slight win for Biden.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. That was a pretty good horse race, neck and neck down the stretch. So.
Yeah, I mean it's ridiculous. I mean, you think about it, it's gonna come down to Nevada. That would be crazy, or it come down to one of those congressional districts, really. I mean, come on, that's nuts.
Yeah, what were you saying, Chris, about the inquiry?
Oh, I was saying that, well, we had a rider claim foul before the race started. He claimed foul during the race, and you know he's going to claim foul after the race, so this one's going to go to the stewards. It's probably going to be a long inquiry.
Yeah, this one's going a ways, but it doesn't look like he's going to come out on top. I think the Classic is going to be a really good race because you have three or four solid, you know, horses in there, and I don't think they're the, you know, they're not the cream of the crop. We're not talking like the Sunday Silence, you know, Easy Goer days. We're not talking, you know, Ghost Zapper, 120 buyers. We're talking, you know, 108, 109, which is fine as long as the race is competitive. And I think you're going to see a good race between Tis the Law and Improbable and maybe even Tom's the Tot in his hometown.
So who do you like?
I'm leaning on Improbable, but he you know, again, he's favored and he's supposed to win and he's had decent trips. He's got the highest figures, but Tis the Law, I think, has the upside. I think he's the one that could jump up and beat him. I don't like Maximum Security at all. And I'm going to use Tom's the Tot. I don't know what to do with him. He's run good numbers at times, but it's just, he's not consistent. So I'll tell you the horses I'm not using at all. I'm not using Tacitus. I'm not using Higher Power. I'm not using Global Campaign, and I'm not using Maximum Security. They're not anywhere on any of my tickets.
Well, I think we're in agreement on the Classic. Chris and I are both big Improbable fans, have been on the bandwagon for a couple races, and will continue to be on for that race tomorrow. I mean, we'll be talking about that race tomorrow
with your brother Paul.
There's a lot of good races.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna have Paul on tomorrow to talk about Saturday. So,
oh, good. So you'll basically get my opinion somewhat, because I'll probably talk to him at some point.
All right, good. Try to talk to him before then, so you guys are on.
We'll go over the race. We were supposed to do it last night, but I think the election got in the way, and probably him doing with Hong Kong last night. He was probably watching Hong Kong.
I don't know. I have that. You know, I have not earned my degenerate horse player chops because I've never played Hong Kong.
You need to.
I've actually signed bomb. Yeah, I've actually made some bets. I've never handicapped a race there, but Henry Wessel, who's been on the pod, he watches all the foreign races, and he'll give me some touts on horses, and I'll play him. I don't even get to watch the race. I have to look at results when I get up in the morning. But because on the West Coast, you got to stay up pretty late to watch those.
Yeah, that's the trouble. I hear you. I would love to bet it, but the time is not good.
All right. Well, we should wrap this up. It's been about 90 minutes. So I'd like to thank our guest, Duke Matisse. Duke, thanks for hanging with us.
All right. It's always a pleasure, guys. I hope there's winners in there somewhere, and hopefully we can get somebody a pick five home.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be great. Maybe Scott. Last time we talked, again, he hit the pick five. So,
hey, look, if Sitting on Go wins, I'm winning something. I don't know if I'll be alive from the pick five, but I will be.
You'll be sitting on Go for it, though. Yes.
I will be sitting on Go. So that will conclude show number 92 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck in the Breeders' Cup, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Idiot.